Father, your presence is just so real in this place this morning. Lord, it delights you. I feel, Lord, you saying to us, it delights you when we come, Lord God, in total abandonment. When our whole focus, our heart, our whole intention, our wills, Lord, our focus is all centered upon you, Lord. When we come before you in a manner acceptable and pleasing, worship to you, Lord. God Almighty, coming as an aroma, as a fragrant, acceptable and pleasing to you. Lord, you're our pleasure. You're our delight. You're the lover of our souls. It's all about you, O blessed Lord. God, Lord, life is nothing apart from you. You are our life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And God, you're the one who transforms us. You're the one who ministers to us. You're the one, Lord God, who has been ministering to us already, Lord. You're the one who speaks in so many incredible ways. Father, I thank you for this worship team. I thank you, Lord God, for the gifts that you have expressed even here this morning, Father God, to help us together, Father God, to worship you. Lord, it's incredible. Precious Holy Spirit. Precious Holy Spirit. I have the incredible privilege to share in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that the words of God, Lord, which are living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, Lord, will come deep within us. Lord, Lord, that we will be so clear that you are a God when you speak, O God. You are watching over your words to perform it. You don't watch over the words of men. You're watching over your words to perform it. You're very careful, Father God, Lord, so we can take you at your word. Lord, when you speak, it's done, Lord God. You're not a man that you should lie. You're not a human that you should change your mind. Have you not said it? Will you yourself not do it? Have you not spoken? Will you yourself not fulfill it? And Father, even at the outset of this year, Father God, for this local church and beyond, Father, you have a word for us in season. Father, I pray that, Lord, even as it says in Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning to you all. Good morning. It's wonderful to see so many of you at the beginning of a new year, even while so many are still away. I really thank you for being here. And I really have the privilege, thanks so much, Brad, and the leaders of the church to share with you. It's not often that I'm with you. Even this next year, it's an incredible privilege as this church, this is my base, this is my home church. And they release me to go to the nations and to churches all over the place. Maybe only once a month will I be here. In fact, that's how it's going to be, once a month, over 30 different churches and going to the various countries all around the world. And you release me to do this. This is absolutely incredible for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would like us to open our Bibles, if we may please, to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and it's going to be the first Bible reading. Matthew chapter 28, picking up from verses 18 through to verse 20. And this morning I want to talk about making disciples. It's something that's been coming across so often for us. And what is the meaning of making disciples? What does it really mean to us? I pray that God's Holy Spirit will really help us. I want us to, even through the scriptures that we read, I want us to watch Jesus. I want us to also model and follow after Jesus and watch how Jesus makes disciples. I want us to also, through what I share this morning in the name of Jesus, to watch the strategies of Jesus. I want us to follow the strategies of Jesus, not difficult, child of God. And even as we spoke so much about the presence and the Spirit of the living God, God knows, child of God, that it's impossible for you and I to make disciples without the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. And so he has promised that the Holy Spirit would actually come to us. He promised that the Holy Spirit would come to us. Even before I read, I was just in this, one of my readings over this period of time was in the book of John chapter 15, verse 26 through to verse 27. And from the New Living Translation, very interesting, it just puts it this way. It says this, the words of Jesus, he says this, But I will send you the counselor. Who's the counselor? Help me here. The Holy Spirit. Jesus talking, it says, I will send you the counselor, the Spirit of truth. But listen carefully to this. What is he going to be doing? Just listen carefully to this. He will come to you from the Father, because he's the promise of the Father, and he will tell you all about me. Who's me? Help me, that's Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, I want you to see this morning. Friends, one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to come to tell us all about Jesus. Because it's all about him. And then it goes on to say, which is beautiful, and you must also tell others about me. God, in this coming year, for the year 2016, wants us to know him. Child of God, as it's come across already, where's Curtis? Curtis. He said, yeah. Curtis, you need to come and sit here, not at the back there, hey? I want you to come sit closer. You know, those are for people that are looking after kids and little babies. You're not married yet, Curtis. Come sit close by, you know? Jesus, in this coming year, wants us to know him, and child of God, also to make him known. To know him. Please hear this, child of God. To know him and to make him known. We cannot keep Jesus for ourselves, child of God. We cannot keep Jesus for ourselves. And there's a beautiful scripture also in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. We're going to read that, Matthew 28. From the New Living Translation, Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, the last bit of it, it says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. One of the modern translations, the CEV, which is the contemporary English version, says this. Everyone who tells about Jesus does it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That for me is incredible. You know, I was reminded also when Jesus, before he left this earth, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says that when the Spirit comes upon you, you shall be clothed with power. That you may be my witnesses, that you may go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and that you may use this, I'm making it simple, that you may tell people about me. Friends, we're to know him. He's going to give us that spirit of wisdom and of revelation that we may know him. But child of God, as we know him, please don't keep him to yourself. Please don't you and I be separatists. Don't you and I just hold him to ourselves, friends. We've got to make him known. In our schools, in our colleges, in our universities, in every sector of life, child of God. Every single one of us. As we go through the subject this morning, God is saying that every single one of us are called to make disciples. Every single one of us are called ministers. Every single one of us are called to be priests. God has saved you and I to be priests that serve him. A priest serves God and a priest serves people. Every one of you and I are ministers. Friends, if we leave all the ministry, if I use Brad as an example, as the pastor of this local church, I know he's got a team, he's got the... If we leave everything to Brad to do everything, child of God, then we have failed as a church. God's plan and purpose is for everyone. Everyone. There's the priesthood of all the believers. We all have the privilege to hear God. We all have the privilege to come to him, child of God. We're not under the old covenant where there was just one person, a high priest on the Day of Atonement. All of us, through Christ's faith, can come confidently and boldly to a throne of grace by which we can receive mercy, find grace to help us in our time of need. Every single one of us. You and I are anointed for service. There are gifts within every single one of you, and those gifts need to be released, and those gifts need to be expressed. Can I say this at the outset, child of God? Don't compare yourselves with anyone else in this year. Be who God has made you to be. Don't be jealous of the gifts of others. Friends, don't be jealous of the gifts of others. Be who God has made you to be, because every single one of you have been given a gift. But that gift needs to be expressed and used. And as it says I'm getting carried away here, in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16, from the New Living Translation, under His direction, that's Jesus, under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, child of God, each and every one of us, Christianity is a doing work. Each part of us does its own special work. Even when I look at you, Noel, playing at the back there, in the band, and I think of Wesley, and I think of what God has blessed the church with in the space of, I don't know how long you guys have been, it's incredible. I watch the band, I look at the various musicians, I don't just look at these people, I think of those that are at the sound booth. Tim and
Yolinda.
Your blessing. Even as I can't see you because you're so short hidden behind the screen. You know? You're such a blessing. Everyone is so useful to God. Under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it makes the body to grow, child of God. This church is going to grow. It's going to grow in a special, special, wonderful way. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. How's that? You and I cannot, you and I are not just about ourselves, child of God. You and I are connected and joined. You cannot be in isolation of others. It's not just all about you, child of God. You need the person next to you. You need the person behind you, in front of you. And you're not just it. God hasn't placed everything inside of you. In His great wisdom, He has distributed gifts, talents, and abilities to everyone, child of God. Friends, even He gives gifts, friends, to people that you and I sometimes don't even see up front. Friends, that they're necessary parts, even as the Bible says, those parts that we cannot see in our bodies, friends, that we cannot see, they are necessary. And God has given great honor to those parts, so that there's no boasting, friends. Our boast is in Jesus and Jesus and Christ alone. But we need those parts. We need those parts. As the whole part, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body, the crossing church, the whole body of the church, friends, is healthy, it's growing, and it's full of love. May God bless this church with a healthy, may it be a healthy church. May it be healthy. That means every part is functional, healthy. Parts that I can see, parts that we cannot see, every part, you are all needed. Healthy and growing, child of God. We've got to grow. We've got to grow. We've got to grow to be more and more like Jesus. And then full of love. When I say love, friends, it's the God kind of love. It's the agape love. This is not a human love. And that love comes to us by the Holy Spirit, because Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. What is love? Love is patient. You've got to be patient with each other, boy. Look at each other around you, in front of you. You've got to be patient with each other. You've got to be patient with your wife. You're going to be patient with your husband. You're going to be patient with your kids. Patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Watch out for jealousy, child of God. Love is not jealous. Love is not proud. Love is not envious. Love is not rude. Love is not demanding, friends. You know? Love is not irritable. Love keeps no record of when it has been wronged. I said it as I came, and I had the privilege to share on the 27th of December, friends. We shared around the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper. Friends, keep no record of wrongs. I ask the church in the name of Jesus Christ, friends, put it under the blood. Don't step into 2016 with baggage. Friends, release it. Let the records go, child of God. Let the records go in Jesus' name. You put the records under the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus keeps no record of our wrongs, friends. He's cancelled the records. So what right have you and I to remember them? And watch out for the enemy, because he is the accuser. He reminds us, friends, you and I remind us of the victory of Christ. That's why we spoke about the communion table. That's another story. Please, Jesus, help me to stay focused here. Love does not rejoice in what is wrong, but it rejoices in everything that is right. Love, 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 friends. Are you there? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and verse 20. And just before I read this, On the 27th of December, we're talking about the communion. I was talking, the message I shared with the church was we do this in remembrance of Him. And there was a statement I read right in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23, and it says this. This is my heart, friends. It says this. This is Paul writing. He says this. For this is what the Lord Himself said. And I'll pass it on to you just as I received it. I want to say to you this morning, I'm speaking a word to you. I can say this. This is what the Lord Himself said. We are going to read what Jesus Himself said. No one else, friends. We are going to read what Jesus Himself said. For this is what the Lord Himself said. And then He goes on to say, I pass it on to you just as I received it. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given complete authority, or all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Before I go on, the nature and the character, when it talks about baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is being baptized in the nature and the character of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then it becomes easy for you and I to obey all that He Himself has commanded us to do. Because Jesus goes on to say, these things you must, He says, these things, teach these things to these new disciples to obey all that I have commanded you and given to you, and be sure of this, be certain of this, that I am with you. Ooh, can you say amen to that? I am with you sometimes. I'm with you maybe. I am with you always to the close of the age. And I have written in my Bible, friends, when Jesus said, I am with you, He is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's how I put it, friends, because Jesus sits at the right-hand side, but He sent the precious Holy Spirit. Friends, He is with us. And I loved what's the theme, friends. Friends, because the people, God's people, always wanted to be near God. And God always wanted to be near His people. So there were tents, there were tabernacles, there were arks. But friends, thank you for the new covenant, Jesus. Now, friends, He has chosen to tabernacle and dwell inside of you and inside of me. He says, we are going to make our home in you, friends. He lives on the inside. You and I got to know, friends, you are not alone, boy. You are not alone. He is with you as you and I go into this year. So this is what we call the Great Commission. This is what we call the Great Commission. Emmanuel, God is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And He is with us, friends, to help us to make disciples of every age, of every nation, friends, by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gives us a commission. He's going to empower us to do this, to go and make disciples of all the nations. I ask a question, friends. What is God saying to us in the year 2016? What is God saying to us in the year 2016? I want to say this, friends. Go and make disciples. Jesus' last command is our first priority. Jesus' last command is our first priority. It is true, friends, that Jesus said that we are to make disciples. Friends, and He said that He will build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know He uses us to help build His church. Even in Psalm 127 verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is useless. And God's going to be talking to us a lot about building and construction and construction and all that kind of stuff, friends. But I want you to know, friends, unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is useless. Is useless. Go and make disciples. So this, friends, as we go into this, this is for every single one of us. I want us to read this. I want us to read two passages. I want us to see something of how Jesus calls his first disciples. Have you got your Bibles there? I would like you to go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And I'd like to pick up from verse 18. Now watch this. This is Jesus calling his first disciples. I want us also to read a little bit further, and we're going to see something of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to touch on things. I want to make it simple and clear for us and let God just do his ministry as he's ministering already to us. One day, verse 18, I'm reading from the New Living, if I may. From it's Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. One day, watch this here, please watch this. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore, as I read that, I felt to myself, say this to the people. As you and I are walking into the year 2016, wherever you and I are going to go in the course of this year, friends, just spontaneously, there's a sensitivity that you and I need, friends. Watch this, because Jesus is very sensitive. He only does what he sees his Father. He only does what he's told by his Father to do. The words he speaks are only the words that come from the Father. Jesus said, the Father loves me and shows me all that himself is doing. Ask him what he himself is doing on a daily basis. He's very specific. There are people, as you and I go into this year, friends, he's going to earmark for you and I. But as he was walking along the shore beside the sea, he saw. Watch that word. I highlighted it. I put a circle around it. Steph, I put this word, friends, he saw. I pray that you and I would have our spiritual eyes open in this coming year in the name of Jesus Christ. You and I will be so perceptive. You and I will be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that we will see what he wants us to see. He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, fishing with a net. For they were commercial fishermen, business guys, man. Jesus called out to them and he said, follow me. The other translation says, come be my disciple and I will show you how to fish for people. Another translation says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's going to help you and I to fish for people, friends. He's wanting people saved. God has a mission. He sent his son Jesus to rescue this world, friends. To rescue this world. He came, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he's going to be using you, and he's going to be using me, child of God. This church is going to be filled with people, friends. Friends who have come out of all walks of life. Please don't judge them. Don't be critical of them. Friends, he's going to lead us to all kinds of people, friends. Friends, he loves them. He loves you. Look at you. He saved you. He saved me. You know? Then he goes on to say this in verse 20. And then they left their nets at once. It was an immediate obedience. And they went with him. Verse 21. A little further up the shore. He's just going through life, friends. He saw. Look at those words. He saw two other guys. Two other brothers. James and John sitting in a boat, man. I mean, these guys, maybe we thought that initially they were inactive, but they were doing something. With their father Zebedee mending their nets. And he called to them, come. And immediately they followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. I would like to pick up from verse 23, picking up some of the ministry of Jesus. And then it says, as Jesus traveled, Jesus moved around. That's why we travel. That's why we move around, friends. That's why you've released me to do this. Jesus traveled. He traveled through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching everywhere the good news about the kingdom, healing people from every kind of sickness and disease. There was teaching, there was preaching, there was healing. He's going to do those kind of things. But friends, we've got to understand very, very clearly, friends. When he works supernaturally, when he works in signs, wonders, and miracles, and he wants to do those things, according to John chapter 20, verse 30 and verse 31, it says this, God's disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs besides the ones recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and by believing in him, you may have life. Child of God, the desire and the of seeing signs, wonders, and miracles and all those kind of things, friends, is not for my name or the name of the church to be made great, friends. It's for his name to be made great. They are platforms for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I are going to be given testimonies. You and I are going to go tell people about him. To tell people about him. and to tell what He, who He is and what He Himself has done. And then it goes on to say, and then we can follow on. So in this passage that I've just read, and this is for every one of us, it's important. Four things, friends, before I go on. Engage. This word engage. Engage people with the gospel. Engage people with the gospel. I'm talking about non-believers. God, in this coming year of 2016, He's going to help you and I to engage people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell them about Him, who He is and what He has done. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He's going to tell us about Jesus so that we can tell others about Jesus. Friends, please don't keep Jesus for yourself, friends. Don't keep Him for yourself. This message, the making of disciples, must go to all the nations, friends. Engage people with the gospel. Secondly, friends, secondly, is establish them in the truth. Establish them in the truth. That's spiritual foundations. This church will explain to you, friends, there's going to be times, friends, there's going to be foundational teachings. Friends, this is absolutely critical because Jesus Himself says, teach these new disciples to obey all that I've commanded you. And can I say this at the outset? I know I've got Brad, I'm going to use Brad again as an example. I get so proud of Brad. I want to tell you something. Because in the building next door, when this building wasn't even built, in the year 2000, it was, what is it, 2000, the year 2000, friends, it's 2016, year 2000. This wild horse, this wild character, this unbeliever, this sinner, this ho-ho, whatever you want to call it, friends. You know, this guy, friends, comes to church, his dad invites him. He comes, friends, he hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus zaps him. The Holy Spirit comes upon him and takes a hold of this guy. I want you to know, friends, 15 years later, because we're going to talk something about a person later on, and I want to show you something, just the power of what Jesus does in people's life. I'm praying, friends. My prayer is for radical conversions and salvations. Yes. Radical. Yes. Friends, that there will be history makers. Even as later on, we're going to be talking about the tax collector called Matthew. And you and I are going to find out, friends, Matthew happens to be one of the authors of the Gospels, the first Gospel of Matthew. Friends. But something that I want to say right here when it talks about, I spoke about, establish them in the truth, is what I noticed about Brad, friends. Brad was a man that got into the Word of God. I want to challenge you, church, at the outset of this new year. I don't want to force this, but it's absolutely imperative for you and I to have a daily Bible reading plan. It is absolutely important because, friends, it's for you and I to stay in the Word of God. I cannot tell you what it does, friends. What made him, Brad, what made him grow, what made me observe, what made others observe, friends, what God was doing in his heart and life. You could see it coming out of his actions, could see it coming out of this, coming out of that. Friends, stay in the Word of God, friends. Let the Word of God, friends, because it's God's Word, it's God's love letter to us, it's His will for you and I. Friends, stay in the Word of God. Rita, you're a blessing. You're a blessing. Even before the meeting, you come and open up your Bible. You know you're a person. Rita, how old are you again? Sorry. 82. Thoroughly in the Word of God. You talk to Rita, she just talks the Scriptures. You know? Establish yourself in the truth, friends. That's very important. Thirdly, is equip them for service. Equip them for service. Equip them for ministry. Friends, this is absolutely important that every priest, every person is called to be a minister. I said earlier on, if the only person who's doing the ministering is the pastor, Brad, in the life of this church is in trouble. It's in trouble, friends. Because the Bible clearly says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through to 12 and onwards, it says, He gave Jesus, when He ascended into heaven, He gave gifts to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And He said this, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build them up. All this by the Holy Spirit. To build them up, the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature, fully grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. And then fourthly, is empowered to empower people to go. We are disciples to make disciples, friends, to trust them that they come into an experience with the precious Holy Spirit and that they will experience a changed heart and life. It is absolutely critical. When I think of this aspect of being empowered to God, child of God, I have the privilege, this is my 41 year as a Christian. Friends, if it wasn't for that in 1975, the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon me in an army camp. I was saying to two young guys here, you are so fortunate and so privileged to know that you don't have to go through the army camp. Sometimes I'd like you to go to the army camp, you know. I got born again in an army camp, but I was shy. I was an introvert. I was quiet. You got to believe me. But when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon my life, I'm talking about, friends, Jesus comes to save us. To be born again, friends, is to have the Holy Spirit baptizing you and I into the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus is the one who baptizes you and I into the Holy Spirit. It is critical, friends, a power, a boldness, a fearlessness. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. So exactly what is discipleship? Firstly, number one, discipleship is a call to follow Jesus. Discipleship is firstly to follow Jesus. To follow Him. I pray that this year we're going to follow Him. What does it mean to follow Him? We're going to talk a little bit about that. Because in Luke 18, verse 21 to 22, Jesus is ministering to a rich guy. And when Jesus starts to minister to this guy, he recognized the cost of following Jesus. He just couldn't do it, friends. He just couldn't do it. I want you to know, all around the world, we have too many CEO Christians. CEO Christians. Christian, Christmas, and Easter only Christians. I want you to know, friends, that it is possible to believe in Jesus and still not follow Jesus. I want you to know that it's even possible to be a good church member, even here at the Crossing, and yet not follow Jesus. Because how can you and I follow a person around when we can't even see him? Sure. Following Jesus means this, friends, to believe his words. To believe his words. He will never lie to us. The Bible says it's impossible for him to lie to us. Correct. Believe his words. Secondly, friends, it means to imitate his character. So I use the words, lips are words, character is his lifestyle. Imitate his character. A follower of Jesus, one who just follows Jesus. Just follow him, listen to him, and just do what he tells you to do. He lives inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And obey his commandments. Obey his commandments, because when he speaks to us, just follow him and just do what he tells you to do. To follow Jesus is to surrender yourself fully and completely to Him. Your life and your will to Jesus. Don't be afraid, child of God. It is absolutely important for you and I to surrender our all to Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. I look back over my life, friends, and at times I want to be honest with you. I was not sure if Jesus knew the best choice for my life. I said, Jesus, I can make the choice. I know how to choose. I tell you something, I messed up big time. I tell you something. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if anyone wants to follow me, he said he must put aside his selfish ambition and he must take up his cross and follow me. Secondly, discipleship is a call to fish for people. Discipleship is a call to fish for people. Matthew 4:19, we read that earlier on. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Following Jesus, friends, following Jesus does not mean that we cut all contact with our non-religious friends. Please hear that. Following Jesus does not mean that we cut off all contact with our non-religious friends. Let's see some of Jesus' strategies again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, please. I'd like us to read this beautiful story. Matthew chapter 9, from verses 9 through to verse 13. And it's Jesus calling Matthew. And I want you to think to yourself, as I read this, How long does it take, friends? How long does it take for a person to move from sin to salvation? How long does it take for a person to move from sin to salvation? Well, let's see the story. As Jesus was going down the road of 2016, just going down the road. Child of God, there's going to be engaging. Where's Curtis? Curtis, tomorrow you're going on your trip, am I correct? Today you're going to Oman. Curtis, you spoke to us that it's not easy in Oman. God has connected you with lovely people there. Arab people, Muslim people. They're lovely. Jesus loves them. Do you know that? He loves them. And you know that He has put you there to engage with Him. You're going to be engaging with people, even in the schools, teaching those young people, those young kids. You see with your eyes, you know. You're not there in accident. You can go and tell Andre and Amanda as well, you know. But Curtis, honestly, there's an engaging taking place. You're going to find something, Curtis, that as God by the Holy Spirit leads you to this, He's going to do it. Curtis, He's going to help you to establish them. He's going to help you to establish them in the truth of Jesus. He's going to help you to equip them for service and for ministry. He's going to help you to empower them that they may go away to Amman, Baran, and all those Middle East places. Curtis, I'll tell you something. What do you see, boy? You know? And as you go, may you sense the empowering anointing of the Holy Spirit. You are not on your own. Because He Himself says, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. He's with you. He's with you. And then He says this, as Jesus was going down the road, look at the words again. He saw. He saw. He observed. There's that sense of, you see with your eyes. May God help us to see people. Friends, the right people. There are certain people. There's a friend of mine who does a great, great work in the Middle East. He does what I'm doing. A guy, Mike Altringham. He was our first church plant out of this church. But I never forget him saying something. He said it's let me use the fruit tree, like an apple tree. He says there's a tree, called an apple tree. And when the apples are green, you can shake that tree. Those apples are not going to fall, boy. They're not just ready yet. They're not ripe yet. But when they're ripe, friends, He says, you shake them and they just fall. He's going to show us that, child of God. He's going to show us something of this. Matthew sitting at his tax collection booth. Matthew was in his sin. How long does it take Jesus to save a person from his sin, bringing him into salvation? Matthew is in his sin, boy. You and I are mixing with people that are in their sins all over the place, child of God. And here he goes on to say, and Jesus says to him, follow me, come be my disciples. So Matthew got up and followed him immediately. That night, Matthew invited, we're going to touch on this a little bit. Matthew all of a sudden has a party. He has a party and invites certain people to the party. He invites Jesus and invites his disciples. Because he wants Jesus and he wants his disciples to meet some people. People that he's working with, some of his colleagues. It says this. He says, along with his fellow tax collectors, sinners. One translation says, the scum friends. And many other notorious sinners. And the Pharisees were indignant. Child of God, I pray. I felt the Holy Spirit saying to us, we must watch out that we do not have a pharisaical heart. Be Pharisees. We must watch that, child of God. Because the Pharisees, friends, we've got to watch that in the name of Jesus. They were indignant. Why does your teacher eat with such scum? This is the New Living Translation. Or tax collectors and sinners. They asked his disciples. And when he heard this, Jesus replied, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Healthy people do not need a doctor. Sick people do. Child of God, the strategy of Jesus, friends, He connected with sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost, child of God. Making discipleship, friends, making disciples is not just you and I, friends, just collecting a whole lot of people who are Christians and helping them to become better Christians. Friends, the true discipleship that we hear, friends, here is calling the unbelievers, the lost. I pray that our life groups in this coming year, friends, because it's one of the most powerful ways that we can make disciples, friends, in our life groups, that every one of us in the life of the church are part of a life group. That our life groups are not just the same old people, time after again, after again. Friends, that we bring in those that are even the lost into those life groups in the name of Jesus. Go and learn, Jesus says in verse 13. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of the scriptures. I want you to be merciful to others. I don't want your sacrifices, for I've come to call sinners, not those who think that they are ready or good. Not those who think they are already good enough. The CEV says, I did not come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners. I came to invite sinners. How long does it take a person to move from sin to salvation? How long does it take Jesus to heal a person in who's sick, friends? Right away. How long does it take Jesus to set a person free who's riddled with devils and demons? How long does it take people to save a person, friends? Immediately, friends. It takes a short time, friends. In Matthew 9:9, Matthew was actually in the midst of his sin, friends, and then Jesus comes alongside. It happened immediately. It happened immediately. Matthew, child of God. This Matthew that I'm talking about later on becomes the author of the gospel that we've been reading about, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew. Tax collectors. Let me tell you a little bit about tax collectors. Tax collectors, friends, took a commission on the taxes that they collected. So they were people that overcharged the people and took profits from them. They were people that were hated by the Jews. The Jews hated the tax collectors. The very reasons why they hated them is because they had a reputation for cheating and stealing, friends. They had a reputation of supporting Rome. They had a reputation of being in contact, constant contact with the people called unclean Gentiles, friends. And yes, Jesus, friends, mixing with these people. The Pharisees, friends, refused to eat with common people, but not our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus engages with unbelievers and sinners, friends. Pharisees don't want to engage with unbelievers. Don't want to engage with sinners, friends. I pray that we will not be part of that. In the name of Jesus Christ, may God help us not to be separate Christians, because separate Christians quickly forget to connect, friends, or to relate with non-believers. Jesus' strategy, as I said earlier on, was not to call those that were already religious, but to call people that were sinners, because Jesus was called a friend of sinners. And then lastly, friends, discipleship. Discipleship is a call to fellowship with others. Discipleship is a call to fellowship with others. When Jesus called Matthew, Matthew wasn't to follow Jesus all on his own. Matthew was to follow Jesus with Peter and with John. Child of God, you and I are not to follow Jesus all on our own. I pray that that will not happen. We need each other in the name of Jesus Christ. We need each other in Jesus' mighty name. Discipleship, friends, is relationship. There are three important kinds of relationships that we need to build. A relationship with God, friends, which is following Jesus. Our most important relationship. Secondly, is a relationship with non-believers, which is to fish. And thirdly, a relationship with God's people, and that is to fellowship one with each other. Give me bow our heads, please. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Discipleship is a call to follow Jesus. Just where you are. I want you to know that Right at the outset, I'm standing already. Discipleship is a call to follow Him. 2016 and beyond. To surrender my will. To surrender my life to Him. Friends, to believe His words. I want to imitate His character. I want to obey His commands. If that's you, just where you are, can you stand to your feet? Just where you are. I'm not calling you to the front. I just want you to stand to your feet. Just where you are. Discipleship is a call to fish for people. You say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, I want you to show me some strategies. I want you to help me to engage with people in my office, in my work environment. I want you to help me to witness for you, Jesus. That means it's going to help you and I to walk uprightly before Him, to be an example, to be those lights, to be those salt. People are watching us. And thirdly, discipleship is a call to fellowship with others, with believers, with friends. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, don't walk alone. Please don't follow Jesus all on your own. Follow Him with others. Father, I pray for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, even as You Yourself said, Lord, You're the one who empowers us. You spoke so much about the Holy Spirit. You're the one who empowers us. You said to us, Lord God Almighty, You will be our Emmanuel, God with us. Lo, I'm with you. Be assured of this. You will not be alone. You will not be alone. I will always be with you. I will always be with you. I will confirm my word. I will be with you. I will work together with you. We work together. I will be with you even to the close of the age. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to make disciples, Father God. To reach these people, Father God, all around us, our friends, our colleagues. Lord Jesus, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, to engage with them, to establish them in the truth, Lord. Lord, to see them equipped, every one of us equipped to be a minister, Lord God. And seeing us to be empowered. Empowered to do what? To go. Disciples, making disciples. Thank you, Jesus.